course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
And welcome, ghouls and creeps, to Listen to the Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave, joined as always by our other friend, Ike. And today we're joined by another friend, Jason Levy, an actor and producer for Fuzz on the Lens Productions. Jason, how are you?
I'm great, man. Great. Happy to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're glad you can come on. Thanks for making the time. So let's, before we dive into all the current events, tell us a little bit about your background. You have a more of an acting background than some of the guys on your production team, right? I mean, I read you went to Keene University. You studied communications and TV and film. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I actually went to St. John's for 1 year, but well before that, I've been doing this for such a long time. I remember when me and my brother used to run around with my mother's camcorder and film like little small short films and things like that. So at a very young age, I knew this is the path that I wanted to take professionally. And then we started the business. We started our business called Fuzz on the Lens Productions back officially in 2010. We opened it up and we met, I was with my brother, Mike, and a really good childhood friend of mine, Steve Della Sala. And then we started doing short films and feature films and music videos and little sketches with my high school professors when I was in high school, like little spoof movies. And it just took off from there and molded into what it is today.
Very good. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about your background, obviously, but you worked for a TV studio, WFBN, where you ran the studio. Yep. What was that like, and what kind of experience did you gain from that that work?
Well, that was my high school studio, which I was talking about earlier. But it really made me into a better filmmaker and made me more of a people person, learning how to direct and act and do all those things, because when your audience is a student body, they really let you have it if it's not good or not. It's just like the horror community. They'll love you. Yeah. They'll love it if it's really, really good. And they'll let you know if it sucks right away. So you kind of want to learn to please them. But that really, you know, helped me get into the business even more and start, you know, learning how, you know, people work and networking and ways to communicate. And also it was a great time because it was a lot of practice. You know, we would film like after school and do all these little small sketches with teachers and spoofs. Like we made a spoof Saw movie with all the teachers and things like that. So it was really, really fun, but also it was a great learning experience too, because you got to learn a little bit more about the business, more like a run and gun type of thing, which is the best type of way to learn, which I think.
Yeah. And that same studio, almost the same position, your brother Mike came through there as well, right?
That's right. Michael actually started before me because he's actually a year and a half older than I am. So he was the lead anchor at the time, and he was doing most of the stuff before I got into the school. And then when I became a freshman, I was fortunate enough to work with him on that as well. And, you know, work with him on skits and things like that. But we've been doing that so much in the past that it's just, you know, it was just another day in the books. But we had a lot of fun doing it together, and we still have a lot of fun doing it to this day. Working with your brother and working with your best friends is more like a family. So we like create a family atmosphere with everybody that we bring in, no matter if it's an actor or another person of the production team. We like to make it one big family and make it a fun experience for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. This seems like basically the best environment to have find yourself in.
Yeah, it's just like everybody works better together when there's like no stress and it's a lot of fun, because at the end of the day, we're so fortunate enough to do this type of thing. And if we take it for granted, then like, what's the point? If I wanted to go work a 9-to-5, I would go and do it and work at a desk and be miserable all the time, you know. But you want to make movies, you want to, you know, be in the land of make believe, and we're very fortunate to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. But you kind of touched on this a little bit, but of course, with your brother Michael and then Steven Della Sala, you formed Fuzz on the Lens Production to produce content of many types. But of course, there was just a formality. You guys have been doing it already. You're already working on it, you know, your friends prior to that. So, what was that process of creating Fuzz on the Lens Productions like?
Well, it was actually really funny. Everyone always asks like how the name came about, which is hysterical. So like, why Fuzz on the Lens? Why Fuzz on the Lens? Well, we were filming a project way back in the day. It was called Rock Bottom. It was like a student film. And we were filming a scene and we were like, what the hell is this fuzz that's on the lens? Like we're trying to, you know, we're trying to wash the lens. We're trying to, you know, blow on it, clean it. We're like, it just won't come off. So we're like, oh, whatever. We shoot the scene, and then we go, wait a minute. And we realize it was never, the fuzz was never on the lens. It was on the viewfinder. It was actually on the screen. So we were like, when we were trying to come up with a name, we're like, what describes our personality the best? And that was it. And it's kind of a fun name too, because people like really get the, you know, they get a laugh at it when they hear it.
Yeah, it's kind of an inside joke for you guys, right? I
Right,
mean,
exactly. It's an inside joke, and we always wanted something that had meaning and special meaning to us, and that was always a story that stuck out. So we were like, you know what? Let's just roll with it. It's a cool name. It's unique. No one really has it, and when people hear "Fuzz on the Lens," they won't forget it. So,
it totally plays in what you said about having fun, right? I mean, just doing this with your brother, your friend, having
right.
a good
Yeah,
time.
exactly.
Even when it's serious, you look at that name and it brings back a funny moment, to mind.
Right.
Given you, it's often, I read a thing, I think it was on your site, where it said that you kind of bring an actor's perspective, excuse me, to the production team. Is that kind of where you come from? Is more the when you were in school and everything else, did you have more inclination to do stuff in front of the camera? Did you have a little more desire to do some of that? And that is that what you bring to the team production wise?
Well, the whole thing is I always love seeing how the movies are made. It's almost like having a kid when you come up with the whole concept, and then it's like it's growing into something that becomes, you know, fruitful. I've always enjoyed acting, always loved being in the spotlight and things like that. So I've always had a knack of being on camera and things. If I ever had to choose a point, I would love to do acting. It's a lot of fun, a lot less stressful, I'll tell you that, because when you're dealing with the production side, it's a lot of things coming at once. But I enjoy the challenge of doing the production side as well. But acting is a lot of fun, because you get to, you know, focus more on the role and focus more on, you know, what you're going to be delivering in front of the camera. But I've always loved and had a special place in my heart with that, with the production side, because I love writing. I love coming up with the ideas and then seeing that. I feel like production's the only really form of, you know, in the business that you actually get to see everything from beginning to end. Actors come in, they do their thing, and yes, they're attached to the project for the filming, and, you know, for a little bit of the pre-production. But when you're producing something, it's from the very beginning. Your heart and soul is in it. Like, you know if it's going to be great, and if the work that you put in will really reflect on the outcome of the product. So I really do enjoy doing the production part as well. But yes, I do have an acting background, and it also helps, because when dealing with actors and ways that you can relate to them, it also helps too. For Michael too, he likes to act, and it helps him, I know, from a director's standpoint, because you can get down to the actor's level and really, you know, get on the same page with them and helps and speak in their terminology, which is nice.
Yeah, you see that with a lot of actors, right? Typically, though, it's when they get to a certain level, they often form their own production companies, so they
Right.
can, have a little control in their projects and a little say in their projects, and do things that they're more passionate about. And you guys kind of from the jump said, let's do it this way.
Yeah, well, we were always the type of people that we love making independent film, especially independent horror film, because me and my brother grew up on it. When people were showing their kids, you know, Barney and Blue's Clues, my parents were showing me It and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and all these other films that we grew up loving.
Yeah.
And the fans are just so great, and it makes making these movies so much fun, and it makes us want to do even more and do better for them, because
Yeah.
I feel like in the past they've been getting a lot of CGI type of, you know, special effects and stuff. And that's when we did Terrifier with Damien, that was the number one thing. We want to get back to the roots. We want to get back to the practical effects that people grew up loving. And to see these fans that are so supportive, I go to cons all the time, and they are the most devoted fans I've ever, you know, confronted with. Like, they come up and they're so appreciative of everything that we're doing, and that's very, very humbling. So that's why I love doing horror films among, you know, everything else.
No, and you know, Dave and I, we are very avid believers that the horror community is one of the best, and also sometimes one of the worst
Right.
communities to be in. You know, that self-awareness is very important sometimes. But you know, we talked a little bit, of course, you know, about the acting perspective, the producing perspective. But for those who are maybe not totally aware of how things work behind the camera, what does a production company do in relation to a movie? So, like, what's the difference between a producer, executive producer, you know, so on and so forth?
Well, the production team is really, it depends on how hands-on that you're in. The production team really, you know, will look for funding for the project, will do anything, you know, negotiate with we're basically an all-around business. Steve went to school for marketing. me and Michael went more on the creative side. You always need to have someone who's in the who knows a business, who has a business mind, which Steve has, and he's very good at it because he went to school for it and he's been doing it for a long time. We made three movies now and he knows what he's doing. He also runs all the numbers for the company. So you need to have that business mindset, but you also need more than anything to have the creative mindset because without the creative mindset, there is no business. So you need to, it's really, you need to know, you have to have your hands in everything. You need to know who you're hiring. You need to do your research, whether it's casting, whether it's for music, whether it's for editing, whether it's for a director, which usually when we do our own projects like that and write our own stuff, Michael usually takes the help, you know, the reins on that. And Steve is more of a hands-on director of photography. So we got that pretty much covered, but it's the everyone that you bring in that adds, you know, that adds flavor to the sauce. And I feel like we found our, you know, our niche group of people that we love to work with. Obviously, we extend the family in each movie. We keep bringing more people in. And once we like working with those people, you never want to let them go because it's kind of hard to find people that you guys gel with because you can see when you're making a movie how good the relationships are at the end of it because that's how much the project either prospers or suffers. So you want to really surround yourself with those type of people. But as a production standpoint, yeah, it's like really trying to find all the talent, putting together a budget sheet, which is a lot of the work. And sometimes you can see why it would be great to just be in front of the camera. But you know, it's different types of challenges that you take in and that you really, you know, hone yourself to try to get better at.
And speaking of, you talk about gelling and clicking and so on. You guys are probably most known, of course, for Terrifier, right? That's where you. I don't even know if you guys could probably have fathomed what happened, whichever. Now, when you guys come into it, maybe make sure my timeline's correct. Did you guys come into with Terrifier 2, correct?
Well, we actually acted in Terrifier 1. So we were filming a movie called Abnormal Attraction back in the day, that me, Mike, and Steve wrote. It was something a passion project that we've always wanted to do. We wanted to see a movie made with a, you know, a bunch of like, you know, kind of upcoming stars and an adult fairy tale movie like Shrek, but in live action, but kind of dirty and raunchy and things like that, campy. So we were filming that movie, and at the time they were filming Terrifier 1 at the same time. So we were like kind of on the same timeline. We didn't really know Phil Falcone and the Damien Leone. Damien Leone lives on Staten Island. I'm a Staten Island guy. We all live on Staten Island. But our paths were different. But then we had a friend of ours, both a mutual friend. His name was Jason Milstein. And he was doing the sound on Abnormal Attraction. And he comes up to us one day. We're doing this big scene at the end. And he goes, "Hey, I got a producer friend of mine. His name's Phil Falcone. He loves making movies. He's a writer. He loves seeing how the process is made. Can he come down and, you know, come visit the set?" And we're like, "Yeah, sure. No matter what, we love people coming to the set. And if they can learn from us or help us, you know, all the better. All the hands, especially when you're an independent film company, you need all the hands you can get, especially if you're just starting out." So Phil came down. He really loved the way we were working. We gelled right away. Like our humor was the same. You know, the relationship was you know, it was there. And he came up to us. He goes, "Hey guys, I want to let you know I love the way you guys are working. We're doing this film. I don't know if it's really gonna go anywhere. It's about a killer clown." But we shot it. We need to do some pickup scenes, but we also need actors. I could see you guys act. I could talk to the director, but you're gonna have to put in the self tapes. I'm like, "Yeah, whatever. We'll do it. We'll do the work, you know, the pickups, and then obviously we'll put the self tape in and see." So Michael originally applied to do the cop stuff. So him and Steve were supposed to be the two cops, and then they added the exterminator beheading scene later. Because they wanted to add another kill. They're saying Terrifier wasn't bloody enough. Damien was like, "We need another kill." I'm like, "All right. After after the girl split open, like you need one more."
That's the most Damien thing in the world, isn't
Right, we need more
it?
blood. So they added the exterminator scene. So I was gonna do the exterminator, but they already had an exterminator that was bald. So we're like, they don't want another bald guy that they're gonna mix up to be the father and son. So I ended up doing the cop stuff with Steve. I got that. And then Michael ended up doing the exterminator stuff, and then it just grew and dwelled. And then we fully came on. We did Halloween 60, which was like a you know a fan film that we did on YouTube. Damien saw that, loved it, and you know the relationship just dwelled on from there. And he said, "I really want you guys to come out and help us full throttle on Terrifier 2." And then it just blew up, and that was it. We fully produced Terrifier 2. Came on, I casted I was the casting director. Michael was and the second assistant director. Michael was the assistant director, and Steve was you know helping all behind the scenes business wise and everything else with Phil, and doing all that stuff. And we really came on you know all hands on deck with them and helped them. with Terrifier 2, and then 3 obviously later.
Yeah. And obviously, Terrifier 2 was just, I mean, magic in a bottle, right? I mean, it's just everything clicked. Damien really, it looked like got to explore his vision, right? Really got to bring in some elements from some of his past, ideals and things into it. When you guys were making Terrifier 2 and it's happening, did you have that vibe of, man, this is something. This is going to hit big. And
I think so. I think again, going back to the people that you work with, it really reflects like how your working, relationship is, that we were all so close. It was like 9 of us, 10 of us working on this movie that was so, out there. And a lot of effects Damien was doing, everyone was wearing multiple hats, but we knew, like, with the story and the action that we were filming at the time, we knew that this could be something very, very special. To the extent that it went, I
Oh,
don't know
right.
if
Yeah.
anyone can really
Sure.
predict that. But we knew it was something special that horror fans would love. But then it reached the regular market with everybody else, and that was like totally out of left field. And that's when it really took off. But at the time, we knew that the character was really, really something that people loved, Art the Clown, and we knew that Sienna, introducing the female heroine coming in and being kind of like that Laurie Strode that it was missing, came in, and I knew a lot of people would like her as well. And when we were casting that role, Lauren was one of the first, and me and Damien on, like, literally at the same time said, "This is her. This is it." It
Yeah.
was, and that was usually the hardest person to cast is your female hero, and she ended up being the easiest, which was good.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you. We talk about the production side. You talk about how there's all these different hats, right? And part of it, right, is marketing, obviously. When Terrifier 2 is in theaters, and there was all that, all of a sudden there's that viral buzz of, with people leaving the studio or leaving the theaters, people, vomiting. No matter how much is exaggerated or what, there's these stories out there where you guys sitting back and saying, "Oh, this is great. This is exactly the hype. This is free press,
That's
right?" I
what
mean,
exactly. That's what you. I mean, that's what happened with The Exorcist. Like the same thing.
sure,
People didn't want to see it, that it was ousted by the Catholic Church, and things like that. And it just took off on its own marketing, and the people really passed it along by word of mouth. Obviously, unfortunate what happened with the Terrifier stuff, but no press is bad press, I guess. And the people all ended up being all right, and we sent them a bunch of, like, get well gifts and things like that, and they were really appreciative of that. But yeah, it just spun out of control by word of mouth and people passing out. And I guess people really wanted to go to the theater to see if they can withstand what was on the screen. And then more people started talking about it, getting their friends to go, and then the movie got extended. And then the rest was history. So it was kind of bizarre and crazy, and everything was all over the place, and it took off so fast, like a rocket ship. And we were our heads were like spinning because to that extent, we didn't expect it.
Yeah, it's honestly crazy because I can't think of another movie that I could see, elicit such a visceral reaction from somebody by just saying the words bleach and salt. Like, for someone who's seen that movie, I say that and I see the wince just a little bit,
But it's so funny because people are like, how are they going to top that hacksaw scene? Like, there's no way. And I was like, there's a way. Get inside Damien's mind, you'll find out. That scene took 5 days to shoot, that whole bleach and salt thing in a studio that we all built upstate. And it was wild, the amount of, body parts everywhere and blood, gallons of blood and things like that. 7 people working on this puppet that we had on behind of Allie just sitting in the bed looking, turning. There was like 7 people behind the wall moving her arms and things like that. So it was really, really hectic. But that's when you knew that was going to be a special scene, is when you have those type of experiences on set, this is going to hit.
That's amazing. And obviously, Damien said that this next one's going to be even worse somehow. So
Oh, it
we're
is.
gonna see. We're gonna see. But
You will see. We got to keep, pushing the bar up now, because now we have to keep getting up that level. So I think it's definitely there. You guys will be happy and sick at the same time.
I guarantee it. But we talked a little bit, but specifically working with Damien, he is probably single-handedly one of the more creative horror entities right now in the genre. I mean, not only just his work with Terrifier, but all the other things that he works on. But his great vision and his effects are obviously top-notch. What's it like working with them? Like you said, you guys seem to gel. So what's that like?
I'll tell you what, one of my greatest friends in life, the kid is so talented, but so down to earth. And it's always a pleasure, no matter what. It could be any time of the day, he can call me to do something or come hang out or talk. And I would be there in a second. He's so talented. And just to be in his mind, be by his side doing this is a pleasure. And Phil, too. Phil is very, very talented. Phil helped him out with a lot of the special effects on that movie. And he never had a special effects background, learned it all from Damien just by watching him. And Phil did a lot of stuff with us as well on stream. And Damien came on and helped us with stream too and everything else. And we just had the cast and crew screening on Thursday. And a lot of people were raving about the kills and things like that. And it's all because of Damien and Phil. And I would work with them to the end of time because they're just such great friends, number one. But awesome people to work with and work for. So it's honestly an honor, and it's even better that I can call them friends. So.
Yeah, and on October 11th, obviously, Terrifier 3 hits theaters,
Yes.
and you're in a different position now with this movie than you were obviously with Terrifier 2, right? And I mean, this is one of the most anticipated horror movies of the year, if not the most anticipated. And you guys have done such a great job of of putting some production stills out there, putting some posters out there, a teaser trailer, just really helping to just build more interest that, on top of what's already there. What's it like for you guys? Because I mean, you talk about it, right? You're an independent filmmakers. You've never been in this position of having a film with this much anticipation and hype. What's it like to be on that side of marketing and putting that out? It's where it's totally different. It's got to be a weird feeling almost, considering
It
you're.
is, but you know what? It's learning new things and learning to, work under pressure and learn how to, react to the market that's out there. And obviously with Terrifier, it blew up so much and that we're working with marketing in different ways and things like that to just try to get it out there even more. But again, it's the fans. The fans, they want it, they love it, they're following it. And anything that we can give to the fans is rewarding to us. And they do a lot of the marketing as well because they're sharing everything. They're sharing their excitement. And that's what we love about this fan base the most is because they are so supportive of everything that we're doing, especially with stream as well. Because of Terrifier and all the success with that, they're really on board of what we're trying to do. They see our vision. They see how we want to change the game. They see how we're not a big Hollywood studio. We don't have the marketing, and we rely on the fans. We rely on the fans to get all the word out there. They're our marketing. They are who we try to please because these Hollywood studios, they really they it's not about the fans. It's only about, they want to make a vision, and if you want to see it, all right, that's great, whatever. And they have all the money to pump into marketing to get them interested. But with us, we want them to be interested. We want them to be invested. We want them to be on this ride with us, and that's why we do it.
Yeah, and it's so cool because it's like every little thing just goes viral, right? I mean, you put out there that it's set at Christmas time, and the internet explodes, right? And you put this little tease out of, oh, the opening scene is gonna blow your mind, and it goes viral, yeah. And then and oh, Daniel Roebuck's gonna be, oh, it just goes, the internet goes, that teaser trailer. All I heard for days after that was people talking about art and the snow and the blood angels, right? Making the snow. And it's so cool how much anticipation there is that every little thing people are dissecting and jumping all over. And it's great to be a part of this whirlwind of this excitement for this movie.
And everyone has a reason to be excited. I mean, we filmed this thing back in February, and we've been shooting it, for a couple months. And I can honestly say there's a lot of reason to be excited from all the scenes that we've been, that I've been seeing, and the scenes that we've shot. I know it's gonna surpass Terrifier 2. I can tell you that with the kills, with the story, in Christmas time. We haven't had a good Christmas film since Black Christmas. So, I mean, it's really cool. I've always loved that dynamic with mixing a very happy holiday with something very, very, malicious. So, it's going to be very interesting to see the fans' reaction, but I think they're going to really gravitate towards it, which is going to be a lot of fun to watch in theaters with a group of people. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we talked a lot about Terrifier 3, and I want to change directions a little bit because another movie that I'm equally excited for, and in some ways more. On August 21st, we have Scream hitting theaters. Now, the buzz for this movie, it's been building. It has an unbelievable cast, obviously not, crapping on Terrifier 3, but I would even say more unbelievable cast for Scream. Talk about it to us a little bit about the development of Scream and how that's been going.
Well, the development. So what happened was right after Terrifier 2, we had this movie that we wrote in 2016, which was Stream, and we always wanted to make it a, all-star horror cast because we feel like a lot of people try to do that, and it never really succeeds. It's always like Natty Knox, they come in for like 5 seconds and then they're out, and it's like a tease. And that's something that we didn't want to do. We wanted to give the fans, just like we wanted to give the fans the old practical effects, we wanted to give the fans what they really deserve and what they really been honing for, which is like a film that's fun, but also has all the characters that they grew up watching in the film, like actually in the film. So we had this movie called Stream that me, Mike, Steve, and a friend of mine, Rob Privatera, wrote. And it's about, we wanted to make it in that aspect of, modern technology with like video gaming and things like that, and mix it with 80s slasher and have these four serial killers go in, their eyes light up like a PS4 controller to give it that modern aspect. Their mask is kind of like your iPhone, but a carbon fiber. And the smile is like, it's just there. It's just stagnant. Because that's the most scariest thing. When we were going over the stuff with the mask, it's like, what makes Michael Myers is that blank face. It's bland, it's straightforward. But we wanted to have a face that's kind of totally the opposite of Michael Myers, which is, a black with a smile. And we felt like it when we saw the renderings, progress, we got even more and more excited as we started to see it. But it's an overall fun film, gory, obviously Damien's involved, so we wanted to make it the kills crazy. And it's just overall, we wanted to focus a lot on character development as well to really set up the franchise. So it has more of a story as well to get you attached to the characters, because we want to do a lot more with this franchise and with this game. So we have plans for more.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's exciting because from the get-go, all your social media has said Stream franchise. So right, it gives you that anticipation. Hey, this is just a start. And again, this was, I mean, right from the get-go, when you guys put out there this movie was happening, right? It's from Fuzz on the Lens, and I heard David Howard Thornton's gonna be in it. I thought, oh, that's gonna be great. I'll see that. No problem. And then all these names. I mean, it's like one after, and I'm like, holy crap. I'm like,
And
this is
if I will say this, and I'll say it on your stuff we said at the premiere, you want to stay till after the credits of this movie, because there's one name we have not announced that I will not announce that's really, really big, that people are going to be like, holy crap. The people who saw it, we told everyone in the theater not to say anything and do not give spoilers. But there is someone that we did not announce that's in this film that people will really, I think, get a, have a fun time with. But yeah, we wanted to get, like I said, Jeffrey Combs, Danielle Harris, Tony Todd, Dee Wallace, Mark Holton from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Dave Sheridan, Felicia Rose, Bob Adrian, that no one really knows.
Yeah,
He's
Bill
from The
Moseley's in it, isn't he?
Conjurings. Yeah. Bill
Yeah.
Moseley, we announced, like someone found it in the teaser trailer and posted it, and then we announced it.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of like really fun people, and they were really great to work with, especially watching Jeffrey Combs on screen. He kills it. Everyone
Oh.
st says he steals the show. His charisma is there really, really well. Tim Reed. Tim Reed's another one. Sister, sister. He was Mike Hanlon in It. I remember watching that film when I was younger, and I was like, this guy's a great actor. To be able to work with these people when you grow up watching them is so rewarding, and to seeing how they work on their craft, and when they turn it on in a second, just when you say action and they're in the character, was so cool to see. And see how they bounced off each other and played off each other, because they're all in scenes. A lot of them are in scenes together. Danielle did a role that she's never really done, but like if she played the concerned mother, which is really, really cool. So it was a different challenge for her, and she was really, really great at it. So we're really excited for everyone to see this film, but most importantly, see the performances of these actors throughout the film. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, I'm a huge Jeffrey Combs fan. I mean, I Reanimator is one of my favorite movies of all time. And just when I saw he was going to be in, I was like, oh, it doesn't matter who else. But not only all you have this cast, but you're also in it, right? You
I
play
am.
your
I am. I
player
play one
one.
of the, I play player one. That's right.
Yeah.
I said I always wanted to be a killer. I said it's time for me to take over Dave's reign. I wanted to play a killer, so I usually try to throw myself in there somehow. So, and Michael does the same thing. He's in the film as well. He's like an Alfred Hitchcock. He likes to be in like a little small role. But I wanted to play a killer. I thought it would be really, really cool to do. And to play along with like Dave, and we had Mark Haines who played player four, and Liana Paraglia, she played player three, to play along with them. And everyone has their own different type of personalities, and their way they kill and their style is unique. And there's a reason why they're killing these people. There's a reason why they're doing it in a certain way, which is cool that it has meaning, which the fans will really enjoy. They're not just going around hacking people for no reason. There's a reason behind the whole thing. So
And so now that you've done it, I mean, what do you think? I mean, did you enjoy the killer role?
I honestly did. I actually would love to do it again. It was super, super fun to be able to work with, you know, these actors and things like that, and to not have to worry about learning lines. I'll tell you that that's the most important thing.
Yeah,
but it was so fun to like take on that role and to put the mask on, and I could see the thrill of doing it for all the people who played Michael Myers, Jason, and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I totally could see you doing that ironic killer look, right? Because you don't look like a bad guy. You don't look like a killer. But right. It's like a Robin Williams, you know, 1 hour film or yeah. 1 hour, whatever, 1 hour photo. You know, it's just, you don't expect it, but yeah, you know, when you turn it on, it can be creepy. So
definitely. And also it's a challenge too. It's something different. I love doing comedy. Comedy's always been my thing. Ever since like when I did improv and things like that. And I, in a normal attraction, I was this character called Finbar, which was mostly improv, but I wanted to do something. You always want to do different things so you can show your range. And this is obviously something different and something that was challenging. It's more physical. It's more, you know, how do I do? It's more physical acting. So it's a different type of way to go about it. But it was a lot of fun to do. And I would definitely do it again. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I don't want to get too sidetracked here, but I always like to ask actors who play, you know, mass characters.
Yeah.
Is that a challenge as an actor when you take away the facial expression? I know you had the animated mask, which may have helped a little, but when you take away your ability to use facial expressions, how does that affect your acting? Is that a difficult aspect to nail?
I think it is a difficult aspect, but the best thing was you got to see the eyes, because, you know, in other horror movies, they try to blank the eyes out because they think it's creepier, but we had lights on them. So you're actually seeing their facial expressions even more through their eyes, because a lot of people see the expressions through the eyes. So when we were doing all these scenes, you have to make sure you're still acting it out. You're still doing it because you don't know what the camera sees. They could see your eyes. They could see like your motions, and plus it gets you into it as well. You don't want to just be sitting there, you know, killing people and this and that, and not have any like type of expression. But it helps to do that. But it also it helps to see like with the mask that we designed, the blue or the green or the yellow and stuff. It helped actors even more get their expressions across.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you talked about it a lot, you know, being a family affair and everything else. Your brother, Mike, directed the movie. And, you know, as a brother, I have four. I'm the oldest of the five of us.
There you go.
I would say it's probably not my wheelhouse to work with my brothers.
I'll tell you the pros and the cons.
Yeah.
The pros are you get along very well.
Right.
The cons are you fight a lot, but then you get over it very quickly. There's times that we're fighting all the time on set, but it's always like, you know, there's no grudges held. We're brothers. We do this all the time. I've been with him for a long time. I lived with him for the longest time. Now I'm making movies with him. Well, I always made movies, but now we're making it more of a professional thing. But people find it entertaining the way we fight. Yeah. But it's always one and done, and that's really it. We move on. We always had a great working relationship, and obviously a relationship, you know, within the family. We've always been very close. So it is fun to be on this journey with him, because I would rather nobody else by my side than my brother. So,
do you ever have to, you know, kind of stand your ground when he gets your direction? Be like, hey, you can't tell me what to do. What?
Oh, 100%. I say, shut the fuck up.
Don't make me call mom.
No, yeah, exactly. But don't make me get mom down here. But no, not really, because again, you want to hold that when you're with those types, you know, with different people and actors, until you get to know them, then you can really show it. But But you want to kind of be as professional as you can. But then once we get to know them and then it really comes out, they find it hysterical the way we banter back and forth. So they're like, oh, you got the New York accents. You guys are both cursing at each other. It's hysterical. So it actually brings them more a part of the family, because now they feel like, oh, they're comfortable in front of me. Now I can be comfortable in front of them. So it's a whole thing. I'm just a jackass in general. I hardly ever fight. He goes, you're just a jackass. So it's like, okay, I'll own the title of the village idiot.
Yeah, no. There you go. Well, you guys have partnered with Streambox for the Terrifier sequels, worked very closely with them. Ike and I talk about it all the time on the podcast, how services like Streambox, Shudder, how important they are to modern horror.
Oh, yeah.
We compare it to back in the video store days of being able to, when you just go in and browse the new release wall, right? This is your thing now.
Right, the whole thing is, too, it's like when you go into the video store and you're browsing the horror section, it's like basically they have every horror stuff in their library at the disposal.
Same concept.
Super, super cool. It's a Netflix for horror films by horror fans for horror fans, and they're really, really great to work with.
Yeah. So that's what we were going to ask you is we always, almost every episode, we stress how important these kind of services, and there's other services for, like, you know, Tubis and some of the free services, which put out there a lot of horror movies that are forgotten.
Right.
How important are, from your perspective, on, because you're an actor, you're on the production side, how important are these services? Because again, there's a lot of movies that maybe wouldn't see the light of day if it was not for these streaming services.
Well, it's great for independent people, I'll tell you that, because it gets more eyes on them, and especially with horror fans, they'll watch anything, they'll give anything a chance, which is great. And to have a platform like Screambox to go to, and Tubi to go to watch these films that may have not got that Netflix deal or things like that, but they gave them a chance to get up there. And you never know what you can find. You can find some really hidden gems. There's been a lot of independent films that I found that I really, really enjoyed through them. Yep. And it gives a diehard horror fan access to unlimited, you know, content, which is great. Yep. And it's good for the fans. It's good for the company. It's good for everyone around. So yeah, I feel like it's very, very instrumental to have a streaming service like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm older than Ike, so obviously I remember the video stores more than he does. I mean, he remembers them too, but that's what we used to do, right? We go through the horror section. You look at, this cover looks cool. I'll rent this.
Yep. Yep.
And it's the same concept now. You're just strolling through Screenbox and say, "Oh, that looks cool."
I used to do a thing at the horror at Blockbuster. I used to go and have bad horror movie nights, and I would find the worst horror movie I can ever. The box. This one looks real bad. I'll go watch this one. We would just have a great time laughing.
Yeah,
with a group of friends. So
yeah, we actually have a segment on our show called Cheesy Slasher of the Week, where we point out a kind of a goofy slasher, and that's what I do on Screenbox all the time. I'll scroll through and I'll be like, "Oh yeah, this is something from '82. This has got to be questionable. I'm gonna watch
but even
that."
even if it is that, I think that it still makes it fun, and
it
people
does.
Still enjoy doing it because they can grab a bunch of friends. I feel like horror is so great to just have a bunch of friends, you know, come over and shoot the shit and put on, and it makes it like kind of like an event. That's why I really like horror. When you're in a drama, your emotions are involved and this and that. Horror, you're scared, you laugh a little, there's a little comic relief, there's a little bit of everything, a little bit of drama, thrill, there's a little bit of everything in horror. And I feel like horror is kind of the back door into the industry as well. A lot of people started off in horror.
Yeah, oh yeah.
A lot of people, big actors, Jennifer Aniston, Paul Rudd, all of these people started off in horror, and now look where they are.
Yeah.
But it all comes back to being in a horror film, putting on a show for the fans. That's where it all starts.
It's so funny because it's so ironic in horror sometimes that you can have a movie with bad acting, bad effects, bad script, and it can be an absolute cult phenomenon that everybody loves.
Yep.
It's just
only in horror.
Yeah, it's so unique. And I'm guilty, more guilty than anybody, because I mean, I tell Ike all the time, some of my favorite movies are really shitty movies. And I know that. I'll call, you know, I own up to it, but I love
it. You know what it is? It's about creating memories, and that impacted your life a lot, and you had a great memory from that, it's going to turn into one of your favorite movies, I'll tell you that. Even though how bad it is, it's going to be great.
No, that's what I say. A lot of it is nostalgia driven.
Right.
But that's all right. Right. That's what movies should do. Right. Cause an emotion.
Exactly. Just anything to take you out of this world. I was always that type of person that, you know, the world is stressful enough. Let's just get out of the world for a little bit and go into the land of make believe and see what we can, you know, come up with. That's why when you're making films and you're on that set and you're in that zone, it's work beforehand, like work, you know, really building up to, you know, making the film. But once you're on the film, And you're working and you're seeing all the moving pieces all come together, and then you're editing the film and you see everything coming together exactly how you had it in your mind. It's crazy to see the process, and it's so rewarding at the end when you're sitting in the movie theater, especially for the cast and the crew. Not even for me, but for the cast and the crew who worked so hard on it, and they're watching their work on the big screen. Like when we were at the showing for Stream. Mm-hmm. Everyone just had smiles. You heard the reactions from the fans screaming and all the brutal kills, gasping and the laughing from the comic relief. So that's them seeing their smiles on their face, put a smile on my face. So
how surreal is that, right? That you do these projects, right? And you have this job where you just get to create, have fun, do these things that you did as a kid anyway. And like I was going to point out, you put a picture out, I think, on social media of you standing, watching the people watch the stream premiere.
Yeah.
And so how surreal is that to get to do what you do and then see that project on the screen And to get that appreciation, I mean, that's just got to be an unbelievable feeling as a creator.
It is because, you spent your whole life doing it and, doing it with your brother side by side at a very young age. Again, like I said, running around with my mom's video camera and going back from those days, and you really reminisce on when I was in the moment watching it, you reminisce on all those times and you look back at that path that you took to get here. It was a long, windy road, but there's still a path to be paved because you never need to be satisfied. You can't be satisfied. You got to keep getting better. But the path that we got here to get to that moment, and especially filming this film in the middle of COVID, which even put even more of stress on everybody because we were in the middle of a pandemic. We didn't know what was going on. No one was making movies. You needed to go through a lot of protocol and precautions to actually film a movie and have a COVID compliance officer. So to get this movie done was a headache. It was a lot. It was a lot to do, but it taught us, how to deal with those types of situations and how to get it done. And we weren't taking no for an answer, and we wanted to make this thing happen. And it made it that much more rewarding that it was finally up on the screen and dealing with all that stuff and just knowing that all the trials and tribulations we did on every other film, learning from different people, learning from past mistakes, learning from that led to this moment was rewarding.
Absolutely. Well, we talked a lot about what you've done, the stuff that's coming up in the near future. Well, let's look long term. In the future, where do you see yourself going? Like, I'm not trying to be like all like, school counselor. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? But
I remember writing those papers.
right? Yeah. But do you want to act more? Do you want to branch out and do writing and directing? What do you have your eye on?
I think that the main thing is just, going, and my main thing is making content that people really enjoy and they can sit around and talk around the dinner table or talk around on a podcast, and it really impacts their life. Just like when you went and watched your films, at Blockbuster and you brought them home to all your friends. If you guys can have a good time while watching our films, Fuzz on the Lens production films, that's the most important thing to me. If we can keep creating content for horror fans, by horror fans, and then maybe break into some other stuff too. That would be great. I don't know what the future holds. Hopefully, it holds something great. I think we're on that path, but you can never really be satisfied, like I said. But the most important thing is making sure the fans are happy and making sure the product that we're putting out is to their satisfaction. So that's all I can really say about that is that we want to continue making films that are really, really cool. And if it needs to be gory, we're going to push limits. That's basically what it is. We want to do something. We want to do something kind of different, but also familiar at the same time.
Yeah, and we've talked about Stream. We've talked about Terrifier 3 coming out. Let's talk beyond a little, like I said, not so much for you personally, but for the company. You've mentioned Stream, right? This is the start of a franchise, is what your goal is. I don't see the demand for Terrifier decreasing after 3, so there's going to be obviously a future there. I know you probably can't give out specific. Is there anything you can tease us about the future of these franchises at all?
I could say with them that there will be resolution to the stories. I don't know how far along we will go into that, but I think people are going to be very satisfied with what we have with Terrifier 3, and it'll explain a lot more with the story of the backstory about Sienna and everything else. I'm sure you saw some teaser posters and stuff about that, about more about the storyline. I don't want to give too much away on here,
Of
but
course.
also with Stream as well, we have a direction that we want to take it. I know we want to do at least 3 or 4 of those movies to really hone into what the overall, purpose of that franchise is. So I could see it going down for a foreseeable future, but how long we want to push that? We want to not just be known for that. We want to continue on to other projects as well and keep giving, fans fresh and new ideas. So we want to, hone in those stories, but then also we want to start some new stuff as well, just giving new content, new things for people to look forward to.
Yeah, and again, I'm sure you can't divulge anything, but are those ideas brewing? Are
Yes,
there?
those ideas are brewing. Yeah,
Okay.
they are there. We're always thinking of the next thing. You can't
Yeah.
just be settled on one thing. When you're working on one project, you always got to be ready for, all right, what's down the line? You have treatments for other things, and this would make a really cool story, or this will make a really cool story. So you want to kind of keep that, in your back pocket. You don't just
Of
want to be
course.
like, oh, all right, Stream 2, all right, Terrify 4, all right, Stream 3. You want to have something, that kind of breaks all that up, because you don't want to just be, in sequence as well. You want people to be waiting for the next one, not just like right after the other. So
Yeah,
we do have other stories and things that we want to tell and stories we want to tell with the fans and things like that and new fresh ideas. So just down the line, you'll get to see those things.
absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's obviously been a pleasure getting to talk to you. It's not every day we get to talk to somebody from, I would consider you guys a pretty major production company at
Oh,
this
thank you.
point. I mean, at the very minimum, major. But keep us in mind, of course, for any news, teases, screen links, etc. But we're big supporters of you guys and your projects. Obviously, we love Terrifier, we love Scream, even though we haven't seen it yet. We love it. We know we're gonna love it. We love just putting this stuff out there because, like you said, it's all word of mouth. It's getting content out there. It's getting people to say, "Look, this is the next big thing."
Right, and that's another thing too, is that we love the support that everyone's been showing for Stream. People have already bought up so many Stream masks. We sold out of the Stream masks already. The movie didn't even come out yet. Someone got a tattoo of Stream on their arm, I saw at a convention, which was wild to me. But and it was a Player One tattoo. It was awesome. I love to see it. But they're so excited for this film. And again, we can't stress it enough. Pre-sale tickets are on sale now. I've been posting to my Facebook, Iconic Release, and we're working with Iconic on this. And it's all by word of mouth. We don't have any marketing team. We don't have any of that. It's basically all because of the fans. So it all rides on you. We have a 5-day theatrical release right now from the 21st to the 25th. And depending on how it does, they'll extend it. So I can't stress it enough. If you love independent horror, let's show these big studios that independent horror does have a place in these movie theaters, so it can open the doorway to other independent filmmakers, because that's the most important thing, is to helping everybody else out. So let's get it into theaters and let's get it extended.
Yeah, absolutely. But for those who are listening, those people who are maybe watching this interview on YouTube or wherever you guys watch your podcasts, obviously check out Scream theaters August 21st, Terrifier 3 of course October 11th. It's a big year, for Jason and Fuzzy Malone production. I guess the last thing I gotta ask is, how can fans follow you from now on? Like, how can fans follow you specifically or the company to kind of keep up to date on your projects?
Well, we have for the company, we are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Fuzz on the Lens. And then we have a website, www.fuzzonthelens.com. You can follow me on Instagram, JBird83. And then you can follow at Stream Franchise on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Michael has a Facebook, obviously Jason Levy on Facebook. Michael is on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook. So it's also great to have this type of social, media presence, because you can engage with the fans too. A lot of fans, reach out to me, and I was that fan, and I'm still that fan, and I love talking with the fans, especially when we go to all these cons and we get to, interact with them. I was just at Monster Mania last 2 weeks ago, and then I was at New Jersey Horror Con this weekend, and meeting all the fans and talking with them and hearing their excitement, face to face is great to hear. So we love to be in contact with the fans, because we are the fans, and we know what it's like to talk to somebody about these projects, especially projects that they're excited about. So this social media has really opened the world to, communication, and we're super excited for all the fans, to see the film and to support the future projects, which is crazy.
Absolutely. And we're excited as well. We'll be obviously reviewing both movies when they come
Yes,
out.
I would love it. I would
Yeah.
love to hear your review right when it comes
Well,
out for Scream. It'll be
they will
great.
be out there. We are we're super excited. We I we Terrifier 2 was our favorite movie before. We did an antici what was it, a pre-2024 of what we anticipated. Terrifier 3 was at the top of our list of what we were anticipating. I believe Stream hit our top five as well. I mean, we're super excited. We're big fans of you guys and all your projects. We like I said, we try to share everything. We try to help out as much as we can. And it's just I love that. I love that groundswell, that fan support, that grassroots, because it just fits for horror. It feels so
Of course,
natural, so
and
organic.
this, yeah, and it's very organic, and the whole thing is too, is that you guys are running the podcast too. You guys are chasing your dream. You guys want to do something too. So helping each other out,
Yeah,
is key. Like helping you
absolutely.
guys, helping us. It's like, what's the point of being pompous and being, oh, I'm too great for anybody? Like you need to be, because you, at the end of the day, we're all human beings, and you want to help each other out. It's in our nature. It's in our blood. So I really appreciate you guys
Of
for all the
course.
support. Thank you
Well,
guys for having me on. It means the
yeah.
world, and to be excited for all these films, it really makes it's humbling for me, and I really appreciate you guys a lot. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for giving us the time.
Of
And
course, anytime.
like we said, everybody go make sure you check those movies out. Follow them on social media. Follow us on social media. We're always sharing and plugging. But Jason, thanks for the time. And definitely stay in touch as projects
Yes.
develop and things happen. It's super, like I said, a super exciting year for you guys and for us as horror fans. So thank you. Thank you for giving us that.
Of course, anytime. And I'm looking forward to hearing your guys' thoughts on stream, guys. I really am. Let me know if the kills
Well,
are there. If it sucks, then just delete the review. No, I'm kidding.
no, right, no way.
I'm kidding. But
No,
all good
no.
fun. But guys,
Yeah.
I appreciate the support. Thank you guys for having me on. And I would love to do something after you guys see the movie. Hopefully, talk one-on-one at some
Absolutely.
later.
Yeah, well, yeah, we can revisit after talk
Yeah.
post stream and then
Yes.
really do the Terrifier 3 push.
That's it.
And
Let's do it.
absolutely. We'll pencil you in. We'll be back in contact. So
All right, thank you, man. Appreciate it. And you guys did
yep.
really well. You did a lot of research. I could see you went way back into the history books. I
We
love it.
try. We try.
That's
We yeah,
great.
we absolutely
Very in
we
depth.
thank you. We appreciate that. So all right, and thank you to Jason Levy for coming on and talking to us. Super excited. We appreciate all the guests when they come on and talk to us. And no offense to anybody, but to have a guy who has his finger in the pie of two movies that we're so super stoked about, I
Yes.
mean, unbelievable. What an opportunity. What an honor to get to talk to him for almost an hour. And we know he's a busy guy, got a lot of things going on. And definitely appreciate you guys heard him. He will be back on the show. We're going to hold him to that. It's going to be public. We're holding him accountable. Jason, you verbal contract, you're locked in, buddy. We will have him in.
Now,
Yeah. Of course, we'll be reviewing Stream on our episode following the release of that movie. You know we're going to be reviewing Terrifier 3 when it comes out.
of course.
And like he said, we'll touch base again with Jason post stream, get his feedback on how he felt things went, and then maybe go full force into the Terrifier 3. It's so easy, Ike, to talk to him about Terrifier 3, get caught up in that because we love Terrifier, and but to forget, so all right, yes, we're excited for Terrifier, but we are just a week away as we're recording this from stream, and
Yeah.
let's focus on that. And I'm hoping everybody that listens to us is going to go see it. This movie looks absolutely phenomenal. And again, I can't, man, this cast, unreal.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, obviously, we're hyped. We're on the Terrifier train always,
Been there
but
forever. Yeah.
been there forever. But it Scream is, I would say, probably one of the greatest collaborations within the horror community that we have seen thus far. You know, he even mentioned it, Natty Knox. Natty Knox was an attempt at doing what we think Scream is going to do.
Yeah.
And I and you even heard it from him. There is a person in this movie that nobody knows is in the movie yet, that they put a there's an embargo, like people cannot post on social media from that went to the premiere.
I am
Like
so intrigued.
I am too, and I have to think it's got to be someone like decently big,
It's like, who else can
like.
they get? It's
All
like,
right, honestly, I'm going to make two predictions right now. I'm
all
going to
right.
make two predictions.
Go
Okay,
for it. Go.
obviously, I'm going to guess that it's either going to be like a Kane Hodder, like somebody that used to have a mask on, or I don't know why I feel like Tobin Bell would do this movie. So throw
Maybe.
him in there
Never
somewhere.
know. Maybe
Yeah.
not. You never know. But again, and I love the fact that he said these aren't just they're popping on screen to say hi and that's it.
Right.
He gave the indication that they all have
Major
integral
roles.
parts, and I love that. And I'm super psyched because I know Dee Wallace has been sharing it on her social media, so she's obviously excited about this project. And I mean, it's like everybody. I'm such a fan of all these people in this movie. Such a fan of them, and dude, this is I'm super psyched for Scream. Excuse
Yeah.
me, Stream.
We might be screaming at stream.
Yeah, and but it, again, coming up, just from when we're recording this, just about a week to the premiere, so we're not far off from getting to see it, and I'm super excited. And again, we thank you so much to Jason for coming on talking to us. That was such a blast. I could have talked to him just for hours about
Oh, yeah.
just everything. What a cool guy. It was for you out there. I hope you've watched the video version of this on YouTube because it was so cool seeing that he had the stream poster in the background. He had the poster or whatever of him. It was player one. It was him in that one poster, the character he plays. Right, so that's super cool to see. And
It is.
I love, man, I just love the way they're doing things, right? There's just like, if the whole mindset of, man, if we can't have fun with the people, that we don't want to work with them, right? We want to work with people that have fun. And that's, I think that's the key to their success, right? They're passionate, they're having fun, they're working with people they love to work with. And it works, and it works perfectly in horror, that that's their mindset.
It does. And I think that's like such it's an important thing that I feel like a lot of, people don't really consider when they think about horror movies and the process. You hear so much about, and I guess this is sort of that dynamic of you hear so much about people who hate each other in Hollywood or people who hate working with this person or hate working with that person. And the way that they've approached this, it's almost like they don't want to be in that scenario. They want to only be working with people that they know they're going to love working with. And and obviously all the people that they work with on stream specifically, I mean, all these are legendary people. These are people who've been in the business, who've been around the block a time or two. So
I
it's
mean,
just,
fucking D. Walls was in E.T. I mean, you don't get much bigger than the movie E.T. And but of course, now D. Walls has done, Cujo, and her, she's done horror, but I mean, come on. And I mean, it's just, it is unreal. And it's so remarkable, because Terrifier 2 was so big, right? It was so huge. Terrifier 3 is going to be so, I mean, we, Art the Clown has crossed a certain level. I mean, Art the Clown merchandise is in Walmart. I mean, so he has crossed to that iconic status, right? That horror icon status. He's there. He's recognizable. It's growing by the day. And these guys have the exact same approach and philosophy that they have about everything else, that they always have. And it's like, they're not making Terrifier 3 because Terrifier 2 was successful. They're not making Terrifier 3 because they feel like they have to now. They're making Terrifier 3 because that was the plan and their story to be told. They've made Stream knowing that, hey, there's three or four movies that we can do of this, and we plan to do of this. And this is before we even know how it happened, how it does. And I love that mindset, because it's not about the dollars. It's not about the box office, which obviously they want. Obviously it helps. But it's about the story. It's about a passion. And
Money doesn't hurt. Money doesn't hurt,
no,
but
because it enables them to do that, right? I mean, the success of Terrifier 2 allows them to make Terrifier 3 that they want. And again, like he said, they've got future Stream movies planned that they want to do. They have a story they want to tell. They have a 5-day theatrical release. Let's get that thing extended, people. Let's get that, like Terrifier 2. Let's make it do so well that they've got to pick up more dates. So go out, the tickets are on sale. Let's sell out these showings and make the theaters add more. And let's make Stream the next iconic franchise. Let's enable them to tell the story fully that they want to tell. And in turn, it is helping all of these iconic actors that are in the movie. It's and you know, I mean, come on. It's time, guys. Let's rally the troops, support Stream. I know everybody's excited, but it's time now to put action to play. Go buy your tickets if you haven't already. And if you've already bought your tickets, go buy it for a second showing. Let's sell the sucker out. Let's get more showings. Let's support these guys, because I haven't even seen the movie, and I already know I want to see the other installments.
Oh,
And
100%.
so let's make that happen. So Ike, let's wind this down. Again, very fun interview with Jason. I enjoy all of our guests. Jason was such a humble guy, so down to earth, so much fun to talk to. I'll admit, going into it, I was a little starstruck. I was a little, because I'm like, this dude helped put Art the Clown on the screen for me. I
Well,
gotta say.
I was gonna say, I feel like, obviously we love talking to every single person that we ever talk to, but I feel like this is one of those interviews that I think it struck super close to home for like the inspiration of our podcast,
Oh, of course, yeah.
and obviously prior to doing this podcast, Terrifier was a mutual favorite of Dave and I's, and Terrifier 2 was sort of a pinnacle, like it was a goalpost. we wanted that movie. We wanted to review that movie so bad. And so being able to talk to one of the people responsible for Terrifier 2, he was in Terrifier. He is literally getting Terrifier 3 in theaters, working on everything else. It's sort of surreal because this is someone who is sort of integral to the very inception of this podcast. And it's sort of weird that, like, we were talking to him, you know?
And it's, I felt, I mean, it's such a kindred spirit, right? Because like he said, a lot of what they're doing, this grassroots working with, I mean, it's the same thing we're doing, right? We, you know, we associate with creators we like, we talk to creators we like. We don't just interview anybody.
No.
We don't just review any movie. We have to be selective. There's only so many episodes, so much time. So, you know, we try to associate with positive people at, well, outside the wives sometime. And but you know, it's I felt like we have a very similar approach. Obviously they're much bigger scale and they're making movies, but
Of course, yeah.
as far as podcasting, we have that similar approach and similar mindset to what we do.
Yeah.
We are positive people, right? We're not here to bash movies. We'll point out flaws, but we will also make sure we try to counter with the positives. And
Right.
we find that important because we're here to be supportive. And but again, such a good time. I so much
Oh,
enjoyed
yeah.
that. I cannot wait to see Stream. Cannot wait to talk to him again afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Because when he says he wants to hear our review of our feedback, I think that's a genuine thing. I don't He's not just blowing smoke. I think he genuinely wants to hear our feedback. It's I think, you know, and
And you know, and I don't expect to hate the movie, but
yeah.
I'll give them my genuine feedback. I mean, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it just because I'm a little starstruck. You know, I'm going to honestly watch the movie. I'm going to honestly review the movie. I'm going to give it an honest, however many screams out of five that we end up giving it. And you know, that's not, you know, and that's obviously not going to be any, you know, disrespect to him or the production company, because you can't make all your movies can't be bangers, but. You
Well,
know, obviously,
we'll see.
we'll see. Right. Hey,
Yeah,
maybe
we'll
I'm
see.
wrong. Maybe they can all be bangers.
Yeah, well, they're going to test that theory. And so, all right, well, let's wind this down. Again, once again, thank you to Jason for coming on. We look forward to
Absolutely.
talking to you again. Once again, we are holding you to it. We're going to talk to you again in the near future. Thank you for giving us your time. We look forward to Stream. We look forward to Terrifier 3. Hopefully, all of our listeners are as well. But
Yes.
hopefully you enjoyed this bonus episode, this special interview with Jason Levy from Fuzz on the Lens Productions. And whatever time you're listening to this, doesn't matter when, the following Thursday after you're listening to this, there will be a new episode of Listen to the Screams. We drop episodes every Thursday. So whenever you're listening to this, just look forward to it the next Thursday and make sure you hit the archives. We have reviewed Terrifier 2. We've talked nonstop about Terrifier and Fuzz on the Lens and, and we do have the review of Stream coming up. Once again, thank you for the time you have given us to listening. Ike, before we close out, anything, any last thoughts?
Just like you said, it's time to mobilize. Autobots roll out, G.I. Joe, Avengers assemble, all that good shit. You know, it is time. Go watch Stream. I guarantee at the very minimum, you will enjoy your time in that theater. Get some popcorn, kick your feet up, as long as there's nobody in
I
front
mean,
of
Damian Leon
you.
Leone is doing the
Yeah.
effects. He's doing the kills.
Yes.
So if nothing else, there
That
is, I
should get
mean,
you in that
they
seat.
put out the teaser showing some of those kills. Imagine what's not in that. That's
Oh, yeah.
come on. So you know, come. I was super pumped before. I'm even more excited now after talking to
Yes.
Jason. So all right, again, whenever you're listening to this, the next Thursday, join us for our next episode. And we will have more bonus episodes with other creators, actors, etc. in the future. So make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube so you get these video versions so that you don't miss any episodes of what we're doing here. We do appreciate you. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your time. Once again, we appreciate Jason giving us his time today. And always remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.